Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, and
Reverend Stevie Craft.
That's right, Reverend. We're here in Lexington, Massachusetts. Yes, that's a wonderful sound effects here. There really isn't an audience right now. Anyway, we're here. Anyway, this show was brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among other things, runs a week-long family camp, and our camp is coming up July 17th to the 21st. We also have a ladies' retreat coming up in a week, as well as a weekend retreat coming up at the end of September. And we encourage you to visit our website to get more information about these activities and all the other great things we do. And you can hear this show not only on WBCQ The Planet every Monday and Thursday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also pick us up on Podomatic, Spotify, Amazon, and about another dozen or so platforms, including YouTube, which I think will upload this video to, or this audio to YouTube. And I'm here with my brother from another mother who hasn't been on in a while. And Reverend Stevie Craft. Rev, say hello to the millions of listeners all over the world.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, I'm blessed and highly favored to be with my brother from a show enough another mother.
Well, today is Patriots Day in Lexington, Massachusetts. And for the past 25 years or so, give or take one, when I think I had a previous engagement, I guess I had to work at that time. There was a morning job I had, and I think there was a cancellation because of a downpour in the last 2 years because of this COVID lockdown nonsense. However, in the last 2 years, we still had a presence on the green, Lexington Green. But this year, for the first time since 2019, they did the reenactment of the Battle of Lexington. And I always enjoy taking people for the first time to these event like this, and this year was no exception. Now, Reverend Craft and his wife, Edith, were on the green to participate or to observe. I videotaped. In fact, I was able to get media credentials, and the video that we've done on this will be up on our YouTube channel as well as our Rumble channel and on our camp blog. We'll do a little write-up about it. So, Rev, outside of being cold, tell us about how the experiences that you got while you were watching this reenactment.
Yeah, for sure, Hallie. Even though physically it was cold that early in the morning, but then my spirit was warmed immediately when I saw the ultimate sacrifice that the Patriots, though they were very much outnumbered, that they gave up the ultimate sacrifice. My heart was touched when I saw them after the shot that was fired, and I knew it was basically by looking at the reenactment, I really believed that it was the British regulars that fired the first shot, and then the battle began. But I was really touched. The wife and I, we were really touched by seeing that and being able to really internalize the sacrifice that was made on our behalf right here in this town in which we live, Lexington, Massachusetts.
And actually, we'll be celebrating the 250th anniversary in about three years from now. So what happened is that the British, and of course, we hear the famous poem of the Midnight Rider, Paul Revere, where they say the British are coming. That was a little poetic license. They actually said the regulars are out or coming out. And the British marched from Boston to Lexington, which was about 20 miles. They did travel over the Charles River by boat, obviously, and then they marched. It was a long march, and it was actually an unusually warm day for that that time. And they met with the Lexington militia, led by Captain Parker, whose statue is on Lexington Green to this day. And they the British were given orders to arrest John Hancock and Sam Adams. These were the two of the Massachusetts leaders of the War for Independence. Well, what became the War for Independence, but colonial leaders that were very important to the cause. As we know, John Hancock was the president of the Second Continental Congress, where a year later he's putting his name on the Declaration of Independence, and Sam Adams also, with his cousin John, were signers of the Declaration. So they were here at the Hancock Clark House. That house is still in existence. and they were supposed to arrest them and seize all of the gunpowder. Now, they didn't know that there was a meeting house, and the term meeting house meant church. It didn't mean the place where you had social functions. Although it was the social functions of the day, but a meeting house, when you hear that term, it meant church. The powder was upstairs in the top of the church, even though the British never got it. And they met with about 75 to 78 militia. Some of these men had experiences. They were in the war for the French and Indian War. Some of them were not. Some of them were quite young and didn't have that experience just about 15 or so years prior. And the British converge on the Green, and the Green is very well preserved. You have got exact location. And basically, we were told, lay down your arms, you know, and they used a little profanity and disperse. And they didn't disperse. A shot rang out, and we believe it was by a British. Mm-hmm. Our late friend, Pastor Garrett Lear, was totally convinced of that. And mm-hmm. Although the official story is nobody knew. And when the gunpowder, I should say, the black powder and the musket balls cleared, there were eight Minutemen dead, or Lexington militia dead. Mm-hmm. A number wounded. I think only one British got wounded. But then they marched off to Concord. And that's when the resistance really started, and they went all the way back to Boston. The British suffered pretty heavy casualties. We lost about 49 men, and one of the men that's depicted here at this reenactment, his name was Jonathan Harrington. And I think it's very important to remember these names. They weren't generals. They weren't admirals. You know, when you read history books, you learn about, you know, the people who maybe had a big hand in the battle. But those actually fought it and died, you don't usually learn too much about them. But Jonathan Harrington, he was a farmer, and he lived right across the street from the Green. And that house still stands today. It's privately owned. And he was shot, and he crawled across the road and died in his wife's arms. And that blood, I look at that as sacred. Mm-hmm. Even though that blood is long dried, what happened there paved the way eventually for the creation of the greatest country in the history of the world. And I think if you're a true patriot and you see this reenactment, and you just think, mm-hmm. here was the Brit. This was the UN troops of the day. It was the most powerful military. Now, keep in mind, though, the troops in this country were not the cream of the crop. It's like during World War II, you know, the old adage, you know, send you to the Russian front. You know, that was nobody wanted to go to the United States or to America. It was not the best duty. So some of the dregs, and they did have trouble disciplining them. And that was evident because they weren't supposed to do what they did. They weren't supposed to fire the first shot because the colonial leaders at the time did not want war. They were insistent. And General Gage gave specific orders not to destroy private property. But from the orders to the actual execution, things go awry. And it was just an incredible day. And it's still, even though Lexington is not exactly known as a Bible Belt town, they still have a great ceremony here, and there were about, I don't know how many people observing it. It was probably about 4,000 or 5,000. Mm-hmm. There's usually more, but I think it's the first time in a few years that it's been done. So that's probably why. But I just like to get Rev's experience. Like he was very moved by it.
Yes, I was, especially being a newcomer in the Lexington area. We've only been here 2 years, as you are aware of. But we were very, very moved when we actually experienced the reenactment this morning. And what moved me more, I think, than anything was the fact, as I've already stated, that they were willing to sacrifice. They were willing to sacrifice everything, including their life, for the concept and the blessing and gift of liberty. That really, really touched me and gave me even a much more, as a minister of the gospel, a much more determination to do everything in my God-given ability to continue that tradition and bring back to this town, Lexington, Massachusetts, that spirit of commitment of liberty.
Yes, and what we do at Camp Constitution, among other things, other than teaching the Constitution, is giving the young people and adults a great sense of our history. Now, you teach a class called America's Godly Heritage. Mm-hmm. Now, the folks on the left will tell you that our founders were either deists or atheist. And yeah, there may have been a couple of Christians, but they really had no impact. But Rev, I think you and I have a big different perspective, and you teach class and you quote, you have a book called America's...
The American Patriot's Bible.
No, the book you wrote. It's called...
Morality and Freedom, America's Dynamic Duel.
So let's see if we could charge that our founders were mostly deists. Now, let me get a deist. This is what a deist is supposed to be. A deist believes that there is a God. He kind of set things up, and then he left. Mm. He said, I'm out of here. It's up to you guys now. That's not much of a God in my book, Rev, to set things up. I mean, if my father gave birth to me and my mother, my mother gave birth to me and my father, you know, fathered me and said, hey, Hal, you're only about 2 years old, but you're going to be okay. We're heading out. Sorry. But and they say that Benjamin Franklin was a deist. But Benjamin Franklin was at the Constitutional Convention of 1787. And there was a lot of bickering and stalemate. This, I think, was in June, late June, early July, sometime in that time frame. And Franklin called for prayer.
Yes.
And there was a reason why there wasn't a lot of prayer going on is because there were denominational differences. So Benjamin Franklin said, if a sparrow can't fall to the ground, this is coming out of the Bible. If God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, if he knows that, he says, he knows that a great nation cannot, you know,
his assistance,
a great nation won't be raised up. So we call for prayer. And that's not a sign of a deist. That's a sign of a Christian. Maybe he was, he may not have been considered what you would say an Orthodox Christian. Although it was interesting about the inoculation. Now in Boston, back in the 1740s where he had lived, there was a smallpox epidemic. And they had this inoculation where they would cut the skin and put a mild version of the smallpox to inoculate you. This wasn't a vaccine full of aborted fetus lines. Franklin was against it. The church in Boston supported it. He lost a child because of that, and because he didn't have his child get the inoculation. And George Washington, to his everlasting credit, had the soldiers inoculated from smallpox. And if it weren't for that, we may not have won the war, because most fatalities back then were not through musket balls or getting blown by a cannon shot, but it was through disease. And back then, it was mostly smallpox. So he had a respect for the church, and he actually would fund some of these people who were involved in the first great revival. And he listened to the sermons. So he's dead now. He's in God's hands. But at least he had a respect for the true church and the true Christians. And what other found? Benjamin Rush, the great doctor Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia. I think he started one of the first Bible societies, if I'm not mistaken, and the Anti-Slavery Society.
Yes, he did. And God had given Dr. Benjamin Rush the gift not only of theology, but also of medicine. And he would take those gifts that God had endowed him with, and God would give him quotes. If you look up some of the quotations of Benjamin Rush, one of the quotations and one of the bits of wisdom that God gave him was concerning children in school and the need to have children learn the scriptures while they're in school. Because he said that if the Bible was ever taken out of the public school, there would be an increase of crime. And how true that has become to this very day.
Yeah, that's another important thing too. Well, one of the things we've always advocated is for parents to homeschool their children. That back in the time of the revolution, there were no compulsory education laws. There were some, they called them, what was the term they use? There were schools. And in fact, in Massachusetts, one of the earliest laws in the colony was the Great Deceiver Satan Act.
Yeah.
It was to encourage schools in each town. Each town with a certain population had to have a school. Now, there was no compulsory education, and the money was funded locally. It wasn't coming from any federal government or Bill Gates encouraging things. It was coming from the local community, and they had complete control over those schools. And these schools had the Bible as its basic textbook. The Correct. Bible was something that was revered. And in some of those early primers, you know, in Satan's fall, man, in Adam's fall, man man, I forget how it goes, but the young people learned basic Christian principles through learning the alphabet through this through these early schools. And that was the way it was up until, I don't know, it was slow. See, the enemy, the enemies of our soul, they look at the long term.
Right.
The, today, most people who are patriots or in the fight, they look at election cycles. If I don't win in the next 2 years, I'm just going to go back to the golf course. It's too late. I'm burnt out. Yeah, I went to 3 meetings in 2 months, and I wrote a letter to my congressman, and I made a phone call. I'm burnt out. This is a lifetime endeavor. And I think, Rev, the worst, the best weapon the enemy has isn't NBC or CBS or it's discouragement.
Correct.
It's a spirit. And the word discourage means to take courage away from you.
Correct.
Discourage. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're going to make cowards of you. Mm-hmm. And that's what they're trying to do. Do not get involved. We're going to call you names. We're going to get you fired. Well, get, you know what happens when some people get fired? They get a better job.
Correct.
Place where God wants them.
Correct.
And let's, and they know their time is short. Well, I should say this. The devil knows his time is short, mm-hmm. whether or not the average left-wing activist knows. But our goal is to reach out not just to the people, the army. And one of my prayers, Rev, is God will put people in our paths that he wants in our paths, and that he'll rise up people. But we also know that some of these people are going to come from unexpected places.
Exactly.
I mean, we look at, say, a Christian college and say, oh, I just heard this guy. He's going to be a great activist. But then out of nowhere, a guy like Elon Musk. Now, Elon Musk, no one's going to accuse him of being a fundamentalist right-wing extremist, at least not yet.
Hmm.
But here he is. He does believe in free speech, unlike the left. And he said, I'm going to buy Twitter and turn it into a free speech entity. And it made the gates of hell mm-hmm. were shooken or shaken by this, you know. What? Who's this guy? We didn't see that one coming, you know.
Yeah, Bill Maher is another perfect example. Here's a guy who expounds leftist.
He made a documentary attacking fundamental Christians,
yes.
right?
And just recently, even he came out against this gender identity and child molestation and these things. So the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. And our prayer simply is this, that there's going to be a great awakening in America, because my mind takes me back to this morning on the green, looking at that reenactment, how, and it touched my heart when I looked at that throng of people that was out there. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and says, how many of these people do you want to see touched with the Spirit of God to realize the true destiny of America and the true destiny of where it all began, right here on this spot? And I was thinking about that as I looked out and my eyes panned that massive crowd of thousands of people that were out there this morning. And I said to myself, God, speak to their hearts of what the preciousness of liberty actually entails and how they are a part of that living right here in Lexington, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so, and this spirit is in other places too. Last week, I was in Ware, New Hampshire. People say, Ware? Exactly, W-E-A-R-E. Where they were celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Pine Tree Riot.
Mm.
And they say, what's the Pine Tree Riot? Why are you gonna, what's the big deal about pine trees that you're going to cause a riot? Well, some of you may be familiar with the flag that has the pine tree and it says an appeal to heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, that the pine tree, what happened in England or Great Britain is that they had pretty much cut down most of their pine trees. They were used mainly for the huge pine trees. They were used for masts on the British ships, their navy as well as their commercial vessels. And they had a good job of pretty much deforesting most of England. But there were plenty of white pine trees here in New England. And so the crown way back in the 1600s said any tree that's more than 24 inches in diameter, no matter where that may be, it belongs to the crown. And that's, you've heard the expression King's Woods, all the woods with the kings. I mean, it may have been your land, but if there was a big old pine tree, and you couldn't cut it down, it was the king's. And then in 1772, I think, they changed it from 24-inch diameter to 12 inches in diameter. And if you cut a tree down, you were severely fined. Well, the town of Ware had a few, more than a few mills, lumber mills, and they were cutting down the big tree. Basically, they said, we're not going to listen to this. This is not a just law. Sure enough, the king sent his IRS agents. They weren't IRS agents of the day, but the IRS agents of the day. And the people, some of the people said, we're not having it. And they actually did a pretty good number on. They beat them. They assaulted them. Not that we advocate violence against people, but they thought they had no recourse. And the men left. And as time went on, they eventually were, they paid a fine, but they were not prosecuted for the assault. And that was considered the first, one of the first acts of defiance against British rule, or the king, in this case, King George III. And a year later, we had the Boston Tea Party. And then of course, what led to the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and eventually the War for Independence, which we won. It took 5 long years, a lot of suffering. But the bottom line is that not as many people got involved as you would think. I've heard the term 3% of the people actually fought. It may have been more than that, but there were a lot of people that just were indifferent. And today it's the same situation. Mm-hmm. Most people are indifferent. They'll say, oh, well, whatever happens, happens. Whatever. That's the whatever. And that's how it's going to be today. It's not going to be done by the majority of the people. We will not get 51% of the people that are totally dedicated to the patriot cause. Now, they may go out and pull a lever to vote. That's true. And we need that. But more importantly, and I think, you know, people will say to me, Rev, what can I do? What can I do, Hal? You just gave a presentation on this subject on Agenda 21 or critical race theory in your case. What do we do? And I can say, well, here are 10 things you can do. But this is what I've been saying lately. Ask God what he wants
Correct.
You to do.
Correct.
Because I might say, well, I think you should do this. But that may not be your talent. You know, so whatever it is, ask God, God, what do you want me to do in the freedom fight? And you might be a gifted speaker, but maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe your voice isn't needed. Maybe it's your skill somewhere else. That's so pray to God. Mm-hmm. God, what do you have me do? And if it's working with us, great. If it's working with another group, that's great too. One of the problems I've seen in the patriot community, Rev, and I'm sure, and we've been involved in the freedom fight for many years, is that there's an old saying is that if we can get a lot done if we don't care who gets credit for it.
Right.
So I invite people from different groups to come, and I say, look, bring your information, bring your books, let people know about what you do. If God leads them to join your ranks and work with you, I'm okay with that. Don't make a donation to this cause because God's going to reward us anyway. So I'm not saying, oh, I'm afraid to bring this guy in or this lady in to speak because all the people are going to start supporting them and they won't support us and we'll lose money. That's not what it's about. That's not how we're going to win this thing. We're going to win this thing because we work together. You know, there are some groups that may be focusing on one issue, whether it be the right to keep and bear arms, whether it be the moral aspects, the pro-life, you know, pro-life. These are all important things. Mm-hmm. But as Rev, you say numerous times, it's a spiritual battle we're in.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line. And if you're going to be, it's like a good soldier has to be in good physical shape. If that soldier has a broken leg or has some other disability, guess what? You're not going to be much in the. In fact, when you join the military in this country, there are things that say, look, you got a certain ailment. We can't use you. You have an allergy in battle or when you need it, you're going to be sorry. We can use you, but we can't use you as a soldier because you have these infirmaries. But there's ways that you can be used. So a soldier has to be in good shape physically and has to be proficient in whatever his skills are, whether it's a marksmanship, artillerymen, infantry, or whatever that is. So the same thing with a patriot, you know, just going up, there's an old expression. And of course, there's a lot of musket expressions, half cocked, mm-hmm. you know, and half cocked means if you pull the cock only halfway, it's not going to go off. You try to shoot it, it's not going to, you have to pull it all the way back. So you go off half cocked with all the best intentions, but that musket doesn't hit its target. It doesn't even go out the barrel because you're going half cocked. Yeah. And it's also flashing the pan. You know, there's a lot of people that get all excited And it reminds me of one of the parables of the seeds on the on the soil, and it grows really quickly, but then it dies because it's not getting enough nourishment. So again, we urge you, you get involved in the fight. Yeah, we'd love you to participate, to host one of our speakers, to share our information, whether it be on this radio show. We have all of our shows archived on podcast. We have a YouTube channel. We have a Rumble page with a lot of videos that we've been uploading. We have some great downloads that are great tools for what you can use. But if that's what God calls you to do, be a sponsor. You know, in other words, help us financially. We can always use some of that. But if it's another organization, that's okay too. As God will bless you. And so just earnestly pray, God, I want to be in this great fight. And I want you to know, what can I do? Bring the people into my life that will help me. I think that's been my prayer for many, many years now.
Yes, and we saw that manifest how just this morning we've been asking God to bring people across the threshold of the Lane Learning Center that He wants here so that we can get a clearer picture of your plan and your purpose. When we moved here to the Lane House, the first thing we saw was the sign that Hal had put up here, God has a plan. And I look at that sign every day and I says, yes, Lord, you have the plan, for there's only one plan that's going to work to save our great nation. And I am so, so encouraged. I met a dear brother today named Harrison, and we shared one with the other. We had breakfast together here at the Lane House. And I was so encouraged to talk with him because I discovered that we were bonded spiritually and that we had the same vision to actually begin to go to the college campuses and talk to these students about why they need to reconsider some of the lies and propaganda they've been taught about our great nation.
Yes. In fact, your vision is to get a camper to drive around. I thought, drive around all across the country. Mm-hmm. And today, I think we realize when that camper will come, that it's going to be for college campuses around the country.
Yes, that's it.
I'm thinking, as we were praying this morning before Harrison left, I'm thinking, what message are we going to put on this van? I don't know yet. You know, maybe one of the listeners would be, oh, I know what you're going to put on that van. It's going to be a message for the young people.
Yes.
And when Harrison was here, he was a man that spent 8 years in the missionary field in Uganda, and he started a couple of Christian schools there. And then he was led back here to get the United States back on its roots, back to its original Christian foundation. So we're kind of excited about different things that we've been doing. God's been putting great people in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we have so much going on, and we're just blessed. We're going to be at a homeschool show this weekend in Massachusetts. Mass Hope, the first time in a few since the lockdown that we have. And Reverend Kraft and I will be there with Edith, his wife. And we're just waiting. Who else are you going to bring in our life, right, Rev? What other people are you bringing in our life? So we only get a few seconds left, about a half a minute. So I would encourage you to visit our website, campconstitution.net. Look at our family camp coming up in just a few months. We have a great lineup, as we do every year. And when I say family camp, this camp is for people of all ages, for family, whole families, little ones, older people. Bring your mother-in-law, right? We have Professor Willie Soon, a top atmospheric scientist. We have Pastor Dave Whitney from Institute on the Constitution. And Reverend Kraft, of course, will be teaching a few classes. We have Kalisha
Reacher
of the Turning Point Faith. Mm-hmm. And just a great time. We have a ladies' retreat coming right up two weeks from now. And we have a weekend retreat coming up in beautiful Tuftonboro, New Hampshire. I think one of the nicest places to be in late September and early October is central New Hampshire. Anyway, you've been listening to the Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Sherliff, and your co-host,
Reverend Stevie Kraft.
And until next week, may God richly bless you.
Amen.